Today's shiur is Masechta Sota Daf Tezvav, and we will begin on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, the middle of the Amud. The Braisa continues in reviewing and analyzing. The Gemara continues in reviewing and analyzing what we had learned in the Braisa. The Braisa, discussing how a Karban Mincha is offered, said Magisha Bekan Dramas Maravis. The Kayan brought the Karban Mincha to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, Keneged Chudai Shel Karan, exactly by the corner V'dayoy. And that is enough. So before we begin in learning the Gemara, we have to briefly review what was the structure of the Beis HaMikdash and of the Mizbeach HaChitzoin, which was outside of the Beis HaMikdash. If we look at the Beis HaMikdash width, it was 32 amos wide. The inside was 20 amos wide, and each wall was 6 amos wide for a total of 32. That is the width, which is from south to north. From east to west, the Beis HaMikdash had the Ulam, and then the Heichal, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, after a break of 11 amos, was the Mizbeach. And as we're going to learn, and as the Gemara discusses, there are three opinions exactly where the where the Mizbeach stood. The Mizbeach also was 32 amos wide. And the first opinion, which is the opinion of the Tanakama of the Braisa, is that the Mizbeach stood exactly facing the Beis HaMikdash, and the 32 amos width of the Mizbeach corresponded equally to the 32 amos width of the Beis HaMikdash. There is another opinion that the Mizbeach was more to the north of the Azara, and therefore the 32 amos were not exactly corresponding. And there's a third opinion that the Mizbeach was more to the south, says the Gemara, Menolan. So now the Gemara explains, how do we know that the Karban Mincha should be brought to the southwest corner? Tiksib, because the Pasuk says regarding offering the Karban Mincha, V'zois Taurus HaMincha, Hakrev Oysa B'nei Haran, B'fnei Hashem, Apnei HaMizbeach. V'tanya, the Pasuk says, L'fnei Hashem, that the Karban Mincha should be brought to the side facing Hashem, Yoch B'mar, which would be the west side, because the west side of Mizbeach corresponds to the opening of the Beis HaMikdash. And even though there is the Ulam, which was before the Heichal, since it was a straight line open from the Ulam to the Heichal, by standing on the west side of Mizbeach, you are facing Hashem, you are facing the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Pasuk says, Tamaloymer El Pnei Mizbeach, on the side one enters the Mizbeach, which is the south side, because the ramp which one climbed onto the Mizbeach, went onto the Mizbeach, was on the south side. Iyap Pnei Mizbeach, so if I follow that Pasuk, that says that the Karban Mincha should be brought to the side on which one enters the Mizbeach, Yochel B'darim, it would indicate that the Karban Mincha should be brought to the south side, Tamalayim L'fnei Hashem. But we've just said before that the Pasuk said it should be brought to the side that's L'fnei Hashem. So Hay Ketzad, how do we reconcile these two Psukim? On one hand it says L'fnei Hashem, which would indicate the west side of the Mizbeach. On the other hand it says L'fnei Mizbeach, which indicates the south side of Mizbeach. Ha Ketzad, the way to reconcile these two Psukim is Magisha B'Keren Dromis Maravis, bring it to the southwest corner, Keneged Chudai Shel Karan, right by the corner, V'dayoy, and you have fulfilled what the Pasuk says. Rabbi Lozer, however, disagrees. Rabbi Lozer Oimer, Yochi Yagishere V'Mareva Shel Karan, Ola Dromis Shel Karan. One would think you should put it on the west side or on the east side. Maybe the way to understand the Pasuk, says Rabbi Lezer, is that the Torah is giving us a choice, that you could bring the Karban Mincha to the west side or to the east side? Amrit says Rebbe Lozer a rule. Kol makom shatash moitzi shnei mikros. Wherever you find two psukim, echad mekayim es atzmo mekayim divrei chaveroi. By following what one pasuk says, we are able to fulfill what it says and also fulfill another pasuk statement. However, ve'echad mekayim atzmo u'mevatel divrei chaveroi. The other pasuk, you could fulfill what it says, but in the course of fulfilling what it says, you will not fulfill what the other pasuk says. Says Rebbe Lozer, the rule is menichin esh mekayim atzmai mevatel chaveroi. We don't follow the pasuk that only gives us the opportunity to follow what it says at the expense of not being able to follow what the other pasuk says. V'tayfsim, and we'd rather follow esh mekayim atzmai mekayim chaveroi. The pasuk that by fulfilling what that pasuk says, I can both fulfill what it says and what the other pasuk says. So explains Rebbe Lozer. When we follow the pasuk that says that we should bring the Karban Mincha to the west side, if we will bring the Karban Mincha to the west side, we will not be able to fulfill what the other pasuk that says to bring the Karban to the south side says. However, but when we bring the Karban Mincha to the south side, Kiyamta, not only will we be able to fulfill what this pasuk says, to bring it al pnei mizbeach to the side which is the entrance to the mizbeach, the south side, but also kiyamta will be able to fill lifnei Hashem b'marav that we could bring it to the west side. Ha-ketzad, how do we accomplish that? Magisha l'droi mishal kerem, we bring it on the south side. He doesn't have to bring it actually to the corner, but bring it to the south side, and that's enough. Ask the Gemara. But if we're only bringing the Karban Mincha to the south side, v'hechen kayamtoi, so we have fulfilled what the pasuk says, l'pnei mizbeach. But how have we fulfilled lifnei Hashem? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, k'sova haytana, Rebbe Lozer is of the opinion, the kula mizbeach b'tzofenkoi. The entire Mizbeach stands on the north side of the Azara. Since it stands on the north side of the Azara, so when we put it on the when we bring the Karban Mincha to the south side of the Mizbeach, we certainly have fulfilled a Pnei Mizbeach, because that's the side by which one enters the Mizbeach. But not only have we fulfilled what it says, El Pnei Mizbeach, but we also have fulfilled that we're lifnei Hashem, because since it's moved up, that area faces the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore, by putting on the south side, we have fulfilled, according to Belezer's understanding, what the pasuk requires. Says the Gemara, put it to that corner, according to the Tanakama, v'dayoy, and it's enough. Ask the Gemara, my v'dayoy, what does the Tana mean by saying it's sufficient? Arav Ashi Itzrich. What the Tan is teaching us, it shouldn't be enough to bring the Karban Mincha when it's in the Kli Shoris, but rather one would have to actually have the Karban Mincha itself touch the Mizbeach Kamash Malon. That if you leave it in the Kli Shoris, it's satisfactory. Ask the Gemara of Eimachanami. Maybe that is what the Torah indeed requires. Maybe the Torah requires that the actual Karban Mincha should touch the Mizbeach. Amakra, answers the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'kriva el ha-koyin v'gisha Mizbeach. Ma ha-krova etz ha-koyin. When the Karban is brought to the Koyin, it's brought the Kli, it's brought in the Kli Sharis. Similarly, af ha-gosho, when it's brought closer to the Mizbeach, etz ha-Mizbeach, it's brought the Kli when it's in the Kli Sharis. Umasalk es levantul tzarechot. As we said, we put all the ingredients of the Karban Mincha into the Kli Sharis with the Levana on top. However, we push the Levana to the side. Why do we do that? Kehechad loitik mitzbehadi mincha. For when the Kohen performs Kmitza, he has to be careful not to have included in the Kmitza any of the Levoina. Kritnan, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Menachos, Kometz and when the Kohen performs Kemitza, the Ola B'yada Tzror, and it is part of the Kemitza is a pebble, or a Garga Melblech, or a grain of salt, or Kart Levana, or some Levana parcel, because that would be cause that the Kemitza would be a deficient Kemitza. The Kemitza has to be only with the flour and oil. If in the Kemitza will be included Levana, or these other items, it will cause that the Kemitza, the Kemitz, is not a full Kemitz. The Mefarshim discuss that, as we will learn in a couple of moments, the carbon, the salting of the carbon mincha only took place later on, after the Kemitza took place. So how could the Braisa be concerned, they asked, that there would be salt included in the Kemitza? The salting process did not take place at all yet. Answers the Sfas Emes, that although the Torah requires, as we will learn, that there be salt put on the Karban Mincha, and certainly before the Haktarah, before the actual offering of the Karban Mincha takes place, that salt has to be put on the Karban Mincha, the Halacha, says the Sfas Emes, is that if one chose to put salt on the Karban Mincha before the Kemitza, that would be acceptable. What the Brice is teaching us is, you can put salt on at that early stage, but if you're going to put salt on at that early stage, be careful that no salt should be included in the Kemitz, because that would take away from the shear that the Kemitz must have. Continues the Gemara in explaining the Braisa. The Kemitz mimakam shnesraba shamna. Kemitz is taken from the place where there's a lot of oil. Menolon. How do we know that's where the Kemitza should be taken from? The Ksiv, Misalta or Mishamna, Migirsa Mishamna. The Torah puts the oil next to the flour, the teaching us that where should the Kemitza be taken from? The place where there's a lot of flour and oil. The Noisna the Klisharis, and then he puts the Kemitza into Klisharis, or Mekachoy the Klisharis, and he makes it Kadosh by putting it into the Klisharis. Ask the Gemara, Lomeli, why does the Kohen have to make the Kemitz Kodesh? As we learned in the previous year, Hakitchecha de Zimna, when he already had put the Karban Mincha into the Klisharis that became Kadosh, why must it become Kadosh again? Answers the Gemara, Mida de Hava Adam. We find the similar concept by the blood of Karban. Dam, Avgav de Kadishte Sakin, B'tzavar behema, the knife with which the animal is slaughtered is a klisharis, and it is mekadesh the animal at the time of shechita. Still the halach is had the magdish lay b'klisharis. Kabbalah, receiving the dam of the animal, also must take place in a klisharis, even though the animal had already been sanctified with the shechita of the klisharis. Hachnami, here too, even though the Karban Mincha had already been sanctified by having been put in the Klisharis, Loishna, it should be again, the Kemitz should again be put into a Klisharis. Ask the Rishonim. We learned in the previous year that everyone agrees that the Klisharis has to be made out of a significant material. The extent of the Machloikis was, what is considered machlokes tanoim? What is considered a significant material? Is it only silver and gold, or also wood? The halacha is that shechita, even shechita of a carbon, can be done b'krumish akana, with a sharp reed. That certainly isn't a significant material. And if we learned in the previous year that a klisharis must be a significant material, and we're learning now that the sakin is a klisharis, which is magdish to carbon, how can we use a krumish okana to be the klisharis, to be magdish to behema? So the Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer given by the Rishonim is that the level of kedusha that the carbon obtains through shechita is a very low level. And since it's a very low level kedusha, there even a klisharis not made out of a significant material is adequate. Another teretz that I saw by the Rishonim, the Ramban says this teretz, is that it's not to be our Gemara is not to be understood that there are two steps to the Hegdish of the Behema. First, the Shechita, and then the Kabbalah. Rather, the Shechita and the Kabbalah combine to be Magdish the Karbon. So since the Shechita is only one part of being Magdish the Behema, it's only the beginning, the culmination of the Hegdish is accomplished by the Kabbalah's Adam. Therefore, since it's only the beginning, but it doesn't create a full-fledged Hegdish, therefore the halacha is, even a klisharis, which is not made out of a significant material, would be satisfactory. After we have put the kaimitz into the klisharis, the halacha is melakedes levanta. We were careful, as we learned earlier, to make sure that the levana is not put on top of the kaimitz. Now we take the levana, the noisnal gabov, and put it on top of the kaimitz prior to our taking it to the mizbeach. The ksiv, because the pasuk says, v'skol levanta shal mincha, all of the levana should be put on the mincha prior to that ketara on the mizbeach. Umaleu, and then we take that klisharitz up to the mizbeach. Umaktir b'klisharitz, and we are maktir in the klisharitz. And there are two versions of the Gemara we're going to learn now. Ask the Gemara. First, we're going to learn the version that it says in our Gemara. Ask the Gemara, b'klisharis makdalei, do we burn the Karban Mincha while it's still in the klisharis? We remove it from the klisharis and put it on the Mizbeach, and like that, we're makdir it. Says the Gemara, elamaneu b'klisharis, we bring it up on the klisharis, laktiroi, with the intent that we will remove it from the klisharis and put it on the Mizbeach, faktara. The obvious question in understanding the Gemara version, this version, is that obviously this is what's done. What is the Braisa teaching us? So the Mefarshim say, if we're going to follow this version of the Gemara, that the Braisa is teaching us that the achonah of to a mitzvah, the time and the actions used in preparing to doing a mitzvah, are also considered doing a mitzvah. And therefore, although the entire purpose of Maleu, of bringing up the Klesharis, is only a chana, is only a preparation to the Akhtara of the Karban Mincha, that is considered also a mitzvah. However, Rashi, because of this question, has a different version. Rashi says the version is that how could we bring it to the Mizbeach to be makdirit, we didn't put salt on it, and as we're going to learn, putting salt on the Mizbeach, on the carbon, is critical. So answers the Gemara, Maleu b'klisharis laktiroi, we're going to be makdirit la'acher shimlchanu. Of course, first we will be careful to salt it. And the Braisa continued, Molcha, it's salted, v'nosnal gabi ishim, it's put on the fire, the ksiv, the salting is crucial, we just learned, because the pasuk says, v'kol karbon minchoscha b'melech timlach. Karva kaimitz, once the kaimitz is offered, shireha necholim, we could eat the rest of the kohanim could eat the rest of the karban mincha. Menolon, from where do we know this? The ksiv hikter akoyin as askerosoi, once the kohen burns the part that you have to burn, the kaimitz, the ksiv anoiseres min mincha, the rest, la aaron ulabonov, aaron and his children should eat, could eat. Karva kaimitz, at what point, says the Gemara, is it considered that the kaimitz has been offered, that the kaimitz has been burnt? Says the Gemara, l'makadisle. According to the respective opinions of the Tanoim that we learned in Masech de Menachos, Ditma, ha-kaimitz me'emesai mata shirayim b'achila, from what point is the kaimitz considered burnt, that the rest of the carbon may be eaten? Rabbi Chanina Omer Mishatishla Ba'ar, as soon as part of the fire catches onto it, that's when Rabbi Yochanan Omer Mishatatus Arba Rabbi, when most of the carbon has been burnt. The Braisa continued, Vrishayim HaKohanim, the Kohanim may, Litin L'toich Yayin Shem Dvash, may put on the carbon mincha oil and honey and wine. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what's the Braisa teaching us? Amakra, the pasuk is teaching us The pasuk says lemashcha. Lemashcha means legdula. It should be eaten in a very significant way. As kings eat, and kings eat their food with relish and with spice. They don't eat it in a bland fashion. Here too, that's the way this carbon should be eaten. And in fact, I saw the Chazon Yecheskel explains that why were these three specific items mentioned? Because, as the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, that these three things, wine, oil, and honey, are machmits, cause food to become chametz. So we would think, as we're going to learn in a moment, we have to be careful, the Torah teaches us, that the Karban Mincha should not become chametz. So even if we're eating the Karban Mincha with condiments, don't eat it with these condiments, teaches us the Braisa. If that's the way a person enjoys eating the carbon, he should eat it that way. Of course, he has to be careful not to allow it to become chametz. There's an interesting machloikis rishonim. The Gemara says in many places in Shas, ein yeshiva ba'azara elo lamalcha be'stav be'bavad. The only people who are allowed to sit in the azara are members of the family of David. So Rishonim ask, our Gemara just taught us that the carbon should be eaten lemashcha, legdula, kederech, shemalachim oichlim, in a very significant manner. Is standing while you eat considered legdula? And that's why some Rishonim suggest that even though typically one may not sit in the azara, the kahanim, when they were eating the portion of the karbonis, were allowed to sit in the azara. Otherwise, it won't be lemashcha. Others disagree. Other Rishonim say, certainly no one can sit in the azara unless he's from the Malka Beis David. And actually, that the Machlaikas Rishonim hinges on the question, is lemashcha an absolute requirement? If lemashcha is an absolute requirement, then the kohanim have to sit. If lemashcha is only the preferable way, but it's not an absolute requirement, so then we would not allow kohanim to sit in the azara. The Retvaz points out that this halacha of lemashcha, that the kohanim should eat the carbon in a significant manner, says the Retvaz, is only a kohen who receives a portion of the carbon. But let's say a kohen gives to another kohen part of his portion of a carbon. Or Yisraelim, when they eat portions of the carbon, carbon shlomim, says the Retvaz, the halacha of lemashcha, legdula, does not apply. Furthermore, I saw a very interesting vart from the Sharm Tzion Ba'alocha. He explains that the minig is, by opinion haben, that the kohen sits and everyone else stands around. And it's very interesting. I always wondered, why is the kohen sitting? Says the Sharm Tzion Ba'alocha, if we just learned that the way a kohen is supposed to act is lemashcha legdula, certainly it's more significant to sit, and therefore a kohen, when he's acting as a kohen, by opinion of Ben, sits. Rabbi Yoshev asks a very interesting question. He says, if our Gemara, our Braisa, is teaching us that the carbon is eaten by the kohanim with all sorts of condiments, and the Gemara many times says that it's eaten with mustard, which we know, chardal, which you know has a very strong taste, so we'll have a concern, he asks, that those condiments and spices will completely overwhelm the taste of the carbon, and the kohen is supposed to eat from the carbon. So how can we allow all these spices to be used? So he quotes a Chassam Sofer, who says because of this, the kohen should first eat a kezias of the meat of the carbon without spices, where he'll actually taste the carbon itself. And the rest of the meat that he's going to eat from the carbon should be eaten with the spices. Then, asurim ela melchametz, the only thing we have to be very careful is not to allow the karban mincha to become chametz. The ksiv lo yisofa chametz chelkam. The karban mincha may not become chametz. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, afilu chelkam. The way to understand the pasuk is that even part of the karban lo yisofa chametz may not become chametz. The Mishnah said, kol menachos, all karban minchas require shemen levana, except the Minchas Soita. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed the halacha? The Kol HaMenachos, Tumen Shemen Levona, require oil and Levona. V'yikam Minchas Soita, the halacha is by Sutton Averis, the Torah requires a carbon oila v'yoyrit to be bought. A carbon oila v'yoyrit means that it depends on the financial status of the person who has to bring the carbon. If he could afford, he brings an animal. If he can't afford, he brings birds. If he can't even afford that, he brings a carbon mincha. Rechmona Amar, and the Torah says over there, lo yosem ole shemen v'lo yiter ole levona. We should be careful not to put oil or levona on it. So how are we saying that carbon mincha saita is the exception? Says the Gemara Hachikamar. Kol ha-menachas, all other carbon minchas, tunas shemen levona, require shemen levona, or bas menachitin, are brought from chitin, or bas silas, and are brought from fine flour. Minchas chayta, the carbon mincha v'chayta, apish ena tunas shemen levona, doesn't require shemen levona, however, bar menachitin, or bas silas, it is brought from wheat and from fine flour. Minchas aymer, after she bar min a sirim, even though it's brought from the sirim, tuna shemen or levina, it comes shemen or levina, or bar geris. However, it comes from the fine barley flour. Vizu, the mincha saita, ain't a tuna like shemen v'loi levina, not shemen and not levina brought from it, are brought with it, and bar min a sirim, and barley is brought, it's brought from barley, or bar kemach, and it comes from the lower quality flour, not the fine barley flour. The Mefarshim explain the why isn't Levana brought on this carbon, because the mohos in Shir HaShirim are called Levana, as the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, I'll give us HaLevana. This woman, the Saita, certainly did not act like our imahos, and therefore she doesn't bring Levana with her carbon. Why isn't shemen brought with the carbon mincha saita? So one pshat that I saw is that the pasuk says in Koheles, toiv shem mishemen toiv. So we see that shemen is connected to one's reputation. Certainly, a saita doesn't have a good reputation, so she doesn't bring shemen. Another pshat is that we know that oil doesn't mix with other liquids. This woman, however, who had relations and came into contact with a man who's not her husband, who she should not have had contact with, so she did mix with whom she wasn't supposed to. Therefore, she doesn't bring a carbon with shemen, which represents the actions, which represent the her actions are the opposite of the shemen. Another pshat that I saw from the Panim Yafos is because shemen, we know, could be makabel tuma. It could also be machshir kabel tuma. It can make the flour susceptible to tuma. So there's a concern that the saita may conceal the fact that she's a nida, or a different type of tumah, and if there'll be shemen put on the carbon mincha, it will render the carbon mincha tumah, because she holds it, as we learned in the Mishnah, and she'll make the carbon tumah. Therefore, the Torah says, don't put shemen on the carbon mincha. Ask the Mefarshim, if that's the case, we know that there was water put in there. So why are we not concerned that the water will be machshirit l'kabel tumah? And then if the site is tumah, she will be metameh the carbon mincha. So Rameh Shapiro answers that they used mayim poshrim, lukewarm water. And he explains that lukewarm water is not machshir the carbon mincha l'kabel tumah. There's also a very interesting vart. The Chasam Sofer says, the carbon mincha brought on the second day of Pesach, as we just learned in the Braisa, was brought from barley, although it was from the higher quality barley flour. The carbon brought on Shavuos was the Shtei Lechem from wheat. Why? So he explains. On Pesach, we had not yet received the Torah. So till a Jew receives the Torah, he's still like an animal. There's really no significant difference from him to an animal. And therefore, the carbon he brings is from barley, which we, as we learned and will learn, is a machal behema. Only when the Jew comes to the Heilige Yontif of Shavuos, when he is mekabel the Torah, that he becomes a person, and the carbon he brings is from chitin. Tanya, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shimon, b'din hu shitei minchas chayta tumen shemen levoina. Logically, the carbon minchas chayta should require shemen levoina. Shlai chayta nisker. We shouldn't have a situation that a person who did an Aveira will gain, that he doesn't have to spend the money to and bring Shemna Levoina. Umnama in a tuna. So why doesn't he? Shlaihari carbona mahudar. So he shouldn't bring a beautiful carbon. As Mefarshim, that answer hasn't answered our question. The question was that we won't want Chayta Nisker. And now what are we saying? So his carbon shouldn't be beautiful, but he's still gaining. So explain the Mefarshim. What the Gemara is teaching us is, let's say we'll have a person who say, you know what? To avoid the embarrassment that everyone should recognize that I'm bringing a carbon minchas chayta, I'll put on shemna levoina. I'm willing to spend the extra money not to be embarrassed. Teaches us the Gemara. We want the person to be embarrassed. We want everybody to recognize that he brought a carbon that doesn't have Shemel Levoina because he did an Aveira. There are Mefarshim that suggest that what the Gemara is really saying is the carbon itself shouldn't have in it Shemel Levoina because Shleyi Karbon Mehudr. But we don't want that this person to have financial gain. And therefore, the halach is, he has to donate the value of the shemen and levoina that would be brought with a carbon mincha. Ubedinhu, shteichatas chelif, tuna nesachim. The halach is that if somebody does an aveira, b'shagig, he brings a carbon chatas. The typical carbon chatas is called a chatas chelif. Because the pasuk that teaches us the din of a carbon chatas is taught by the pasuk of the Isser of eating Chalav Adam. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Aveira of eating Chalav was quite common. Doing Nikah properly is difficult. And therefore, the halacha should be that the Nesachim should be brought along Shlai Chayta Nisker. Umname Einatuna. Why not? Again, Shlai Karbona Mehudar, that he brought along the Nesachim. Ask the Mefarshim. The halacha is that a carbon, that the only time the Sachem are brought are by Kabbonis, which are brought as an Adava. And this, the Karbon Chattis, obviously is not a carbon that's brought as an Adava. It's brought because one did an Aveira. Explain the Mefarshim. What the Gemara means is that a person should have to bring the value of the Nesachem, that he shouldn't be able to recognize that financial saving. Avachatosa Shem Tzaira Vashem These don't come from Aveira. As the Gemara, Mitzayra doesn't represent an Aveira. For seven different Aveiras, the Tzaraas, different the Goyim come. So what are we saying that it's not because of an Aveira? Answers the Gemara. The Kapara for the Aveira, which caused them to have Negoyim, the embarrassment and the bother of having the Negoyim, that took care of that. Kimaisa carbon. What is the purpose of bringing the carbon? L'shturi b'kachim d'maisi. It's only brought for him to be able to eat kachim, which doesn't represent a kapara, and therefore he could bring along with them the sochim. Elame ato, ask the Gemara, Chatas Nazir Teitun and Nesachim. A Chatas Nazir should require Nesachim. Lefishena Balachet. There's no Aveira involved with a Nazir. Why, when the Nazir brings his Chatos, doesn't he bring along Nesachim? Answers the Gemara. Savala Kribalaza Kfar. Because if Shimon holds like Kribalaza Kfar, who we who we quoted many times in Masech the Nazir, the Adam Nazir Nami Chaytuhu. Actually, Nazir is a Balaveira Lefishit Sir Atzmai Minayayin. And Taisus and the Rishonim go into a discussion. Is every Nazir considered a Chayte, only a Nazir Tamei? If we're going to say that every Nazir is considered a Chayte, that we could understand our Gemara. But if we're going to say that only a Nazir Tamei is considered a Chayte, we still have a problem. Why does a Nazir not bring the Sochim? Furthermore, this only represents the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Kfar that says that a Nazir is considered a Chayte. Not everybody agrees with Rabbi Elazar Kfar's opinion. So why indeed, asked the Mefarshim, according to those opinions, will the Nazir not bring the Sochim with his carbon? The answer is because the entire concept of Naziris is a Chiddush, that a person could bring upon himself this level, and therefore we don't expand that she should have to bring more than the carbon, that she should also have to bring the Sochim. Rav Gamliel said at the end of a Mishnah that just like her Maisen were Maisa Behema, so too is a carbon Behema. Tanya. Amalahem Regamliel Chachamim. Regamliel said to Chachamim, Seifrim. Regamliel was speaking to Rameyer, and he called him Seifrim. Mefarshim gives two explanations. Either because we find in Shas that Rameyer is called Chacham the Seifer, so since he's called a Seifer, so Regamliel in addressing him calls him a Seifer. Another explanation that I saw is that Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, so everyone else compared to Rabbi Gamliel was at a lower level and was called a Seifer. Hanicholi, allow me, I will explain what it says in our Mishnah like a jewel. Some say it means like a jewel, some say it means like expensive perfume, others say, I'm going to explain. Rabbi Gamliel had a fundamental problem with Rameyer's explanation of why a Saita brings a carbon from Sairim, because Rameyer, as we're going to quote, had a different explanation, and he says the explanation that I will give will be closer to associate with the actions of the Saita. The Shamler made the comma. For Rav Gamliel heard Rameyer explaining that why does the Saita bring a carbon from Sa'irim, because he hachalasa madani oilam, she gave the person to eat delicious food, lefikach karbona machal behema. Therefore, we give her, tell her to bring a carbon that's a machal behema. Amalhu, so Gamliel said to the Chachamim, hatina chashira, that explains by a wealthy woman who could have afforded to give the adulterer all of these expensive foods. Ania Michael, remember, what we say by a poor adulteress, just like her actions are the actions of an animal that isn't loyal to its mate, that's why Rabbi Gamliel explains the carbon being brought from Sairim is much more understood, it reflects her actions. But the question is obvious. It's not for sure that she did a Maisa Behema. We know that if a sight is a question what she did. So why we call her actions of a behema? So one, the Meshech Chachma says, even if she's innocent, she's not totally innocent, because she certainly acted inappropriately, kinui, stira, etc. Other Mefarshim explain that the Gemara says in Masechet Brachos that a roya sa'irim b'chaloymai, if somebody sees barley in his dream, it's a sign that Saru Avonaisov, that his Averis have been forgiven. That's Pshat, they explain. We specifically bring a carbon Sairim because we don't know what's going to be. Maybe she's going to be innocent, and then the Gemara Brachos is appropriate. Saru Avonaisov, that she's innocent. And maybe she's guilty, she did a Maisa Behema. Sairim represent both possibilities, and therefore the carbon should be brought. Carbon Sairim. Says the Mishnah, continuing the process of the Saita, Haimevi Pailish of Cheres, that would bring an earthenware of Cheres. The Mefarshim discuss why does the Mishnah use this word, this Greek word, pyli. So one explanation is because we don't want it to be a significant cup. And a pyli was a cup that was used exclusively for drinking. A very insignificant cup. Another explanation that I saw is that the Torah says, Yafta lekim leyefes v'yishkoin be'olei shem. That the Greek language will be be'olei shem, will be used in the yeshivas, because Yefes was careful not to act in an immoral way with his father. He was worried about the covet of his father. Therefore, this woman who didn't follow the actions of Yefes, that's why we speak about Lashon Pili or Lashon Yavin. V'loshon l'toichai chatziloig mayim minakiyah. We put into it a chatziloig. Why a chatziloig? From the Farshim explain. A chatziloig contains two revias, and a revias, as we've learned many times in Shas, is the minimum amount of blood that a person needs to survive. As we also have learned that the Meisaita don't only inspect the woman, but also inspect the man. So therefore we have a chatziloig, two revias, one for the man and one for the woman. Yudaima revias, only a revias of water is put in. What is the basis of this machlokes? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Shem shemat b'ksav, kach mat b'mayim. The machlokes of the Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda evolves around how much was written in the Parashat Saita. Rabbi Yehuda, who has less written, only requires a revias to erase that amount. The Tanakam, who has more of the Parashat written, requires a chatziloik. Nichnas lehechol, or funnily aminoi, he comes into the hechol and he turns right. There was a place that was amal ama big. The tavlo shoshayis, the tabayas hayiskavuba. There was a marble stone with a ring on top of it. Shemagbiya, when he lifts it, the noitel ofim tachter takes earth from under that slab. The noisnai, and he puts enough earth into the cup. Mind that it should be noticeable. Tana, pili shel cheres chadasha. He had to use a new cup. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Although the Tzofnas Paneach indicates that one would be allowed to use a cup that was already used. He says this is Pshat in a Rambam. He could use a cup that was already used by a different Saita, as long as that Saita was innocent. My Tamad Rabbi Shmuel, that says it has to be a new cup, Gomer Kli Klima Metzaira. He learns from the Parashat of Metzaira. Ma'ala Halon, by Metzaira, we use when he's cured from Tzaraas, he goes through an entire process, and there the Torah proves that it has to be new. Afkan, Ma'ala Halon, Chayar Chadasha. Afkan cherev chadasha. Ask the Gemara v'hosman nolam. And how do we know that there it has to be a new cup? The ksiv v'shachra tzipora achas al kli cheres amayim chayim. And as the Malbim explains, the pasuk should have said mayim chayim b'kli cheres, that the water is in the kli cheres, not the cup with the water in it. Ma mayim chayim. What is the definition of mayim chayim? Shloi nasa ben melacha. The water, that nothing was ever done with this water. Af kli has to be a keli shloi nasa ba malacha, that nothing was ever done with this keli. Ima lahalan mayim chayim. Ask the Gemara if we're going to be drawing a gzeri shava between soita and metzaira. Why do we say that just like there it has to be mayim chayim? Af kan it has to be mayim chayim. Says the Gemara, "L'rishmol hachinami." Indeed, you have to use ma'im chayim. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, mei kiyar, the mei kiyar which was used to draw the water for the mei saita. L'rishmol amim mei mayin hayu, it was spring water. V'chayim ramim mishamenus, which was indeed the ma'im chayim. The kiyar was ma'im chayim. The Farshim asked, how could water which was in the kiyar, which was we know made out of nechoshes, then go and be used to be put into Kli Cheres that we're explaining was used for the Saita? Isn't that lowering its level of Kedusha? Answer the Mefarshim, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to allow his name to be erased to bring Shalom, so too the Kiyor is prepared. We allow water that was in a Kli Hegdish, in the Kli Nechoshes, to be put into Kli Cheres in order to bring Kedusha, in order to bring Shalom between the husband and wife, if this woman is indeed innocent. Mefarshim Tosfos also discusses that our Gemara says that a requirement is shleinasen belocha, that the water was not used for any other purpose. He says there's an interesting question how the Kohanim used the water in the Mei Kiyor. Did they actually stick their hands into the Kiyor, their hands and the feet, or did they have the water from the Kiyor poured on them? So according to the Man D'Omer that says that the water was poured, it certainly wasn't used again. It was poured on their hands and feet and not used again. But according to the Man D'Omer that they put their hands and feet into the Kiyor, why isn't that considered water shenas ben melacha that was used for work? So say the Paiskim, from here we see that water that was used to wash one's hand with is not considered mayim shenasem b'malacha, water that was already used, which really is the basis of a machloikas apaiskim. The halacha is when we wash our hands, we're not allowed to wash our hands with mayim shenasem b'malacha. The machloikas rishonim, if water that was already used for Natilas Yadayim could be used for, if water was used for Natilas Yadayim once, could be reused. According to the Man D'Omer that says that the same water of the Kiyor was constantly reused, and our Gemara is considered Mayim Shlonas B'Malacha, water that was already used once to wash someone's hands could be reused. The other Man D'Omer will say that water that was once used cannot be reused, and that is the opinion of Tosfos, which is also the opinion of the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch, however, and the Rambam hold that water that was already used for the Tilas Yadayim cannot be reused. Ask the Gemara, how could Rabbi Shmuel learn Gzeiru Shava between Saita Mitzayra, Ikla Mifrach, Mal Mitzayra, Shekein Ton, Eitz Erev, V'Izav V'Shtitalos, requires all of these different items which its Saita doesn't require? Amar Rava, Amar Kra, there's a different reason why Rabbi Shmuel says that the Kli Cheres has to be used. The Kli Cheres that I'm using for the Saita is Kli Shamati L'Chakfar. It's the Kli that we already encountered in Halacha previously. The Keli that was used for Mitzayra, which had to be a new Keli. Amar Rava, says Rava, the Tanner who disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel, that says it doesn't have to be a new Keli, Loishanal Shleinus Akmuponov, it didn't become black. Avnus Akmuponov, if that Keli became black, Psulim, even he will agree that it's possible. My Tam Dumya the Mayim. My Mayim Shlanishtanu, that it doesn't change colors. Av Keli has to be a Keli that didn't change colors. And the Mepois can point out that changing colors only means changing if it was changed because of an outside reason, an external reason. As Rashi explains, it got black because it was over fire. But if it changed colors naturally, that's not considered changed colors. Again, a halacha that's relevant to Natilas Yadayim, that water that changed colors may not be used for Natilas Yadayim, but again, only explained the Paiskim if it changed colors because of an external reason. But if it just naturally changed colors, it would not be disqualified. By Rava, Nisakmu, if they change colors, the Zero Tarkif Shanesh, that was taken back to a kiln, Nislabnu, and it's no longer black and Mau. Mimrin and Kivin Etchetru, once it becomes disqualified, it remains disqualified. Adilma Kivin Dahadah Hadar, now it looks like new and clean, it could be used. Toshma, Rabbi Lazar Oima, Eitz Erev, the Ezer Vishnitalos, Shev Shaban Kapasla Chorif, which somebody put his backs on them, and therefore they became bent, Psulim. Ask them of a hosam hadam mifshati. So we see that even if they become disqualified temporarily, they remain permanently disqualified. It says the Gemara, that's not true. Hosam diklif klufi. There, when they're bent, they never come back to the right shape. But could well be that something that comes back to the right shape would not become disqualified.